Hello and welcome to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. I'm John Stillman alongside Joel Johnson, certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. Joel has been published in Forbes and the Wall Street Journal. He's been an analyst on Fox Business and Fox Connecticut. He's the host of Better Money every weekend on the Saturday and Sunday morning news with Kara Sundlin. He's the author of six of his own books, including most famously The Money Map, and he's here to share his wisdom with us today. Joel, believe it or not, right now, we're going to talk about Mick Jagger. What can we learn about retirement planning from Mick Jagger? You didn't see that one coming, did you?
Didn't see that one coming, and I don't think my 82-year-old dad or my 84-year-old mother would be very interested in retirement planning with Mick Jagger. But it's kind of interesting, John. He's actually dispensed, whether he was trying to or not, some decent advice when it comes to retirement planning.
So what we have here are some quotes from Mick Jagger. And to clarify, these are not song lyrics. These are quotes that he's had in magazines or articles or interviews over the years. So I'm going to give you the quote, Joel. You can weave it into a financial lesson of some sort. Starting with this, "The past is a great place, and I don't want to erase it or to regret it, but I don't want to be its prisoner either."
Well, great quote. And I think, you know, I think of a couple of clients right now that we've been talking to because they're getting on in a retirement age, I think into their 70s. And they look back and they go, oh, did we spend too much money? Maybe we should have given more money to our kids and our grandkids. And then they're getting that point also where they're just worried about running out of money, even though they never will. It's kind of ironic. There's no way on earth, you know, even if they spend twice as much as they're spending today, that they're going to run out of money, but they're just kind of worried about it. You know, so they're worried about financial things that they did or didn't do, maybe some regrets. And so in the past, they're focusing on these things. And, you know, it's really too bad. We encourage our clients, spend more money, spend it on yourself. You know, have a bucket of money that's for fishing, have a bucket of money that's for golfing, have a bucket of money that's for going on cruises with your grandkids or helping them get started on their college dreams. Spend money. You've worked so hard. And I think that's what Mick is getting to here with his advice is, you know, don't be hung up in the past. Don't have regrets. Enjoy the retirement that you've worked so hard for. You deserve it.
A lot of people are mad about bad advice they've gotten in the past, and they just get so hung up on that. They can't assess where they are now and make the best decision for their future because they're so hung up on a past bad decision.
No question about it. And again, we see that a lot. And, you know, you can't undo the past. I mean, I've got things I wish I would have done differently. I've got investments that I wish I would not have made. I remember during the dot-com bubble or just before it, I was just beginning to save a significant amount of money. And I had Microsoft and Cisco Systems. And I'm trying to remember the name of the other companies. They're probably not around anymore. But in 2000, you know, I had my IRA and it was built up to six figures and it went down by 80%. In 01 and 02. I would drive myself nuts if I kept thinking about that all the time. Luckily, we've recovered from that, and you know, we've been saving more and more money, so I'm in great shape. But if I dwell on the past mistakes, I'm just going to drive myself crazy. And we try to encourage our clients not to do that. Most of them are really, really good at living in the present, really enjoying their retirement dollars, but some have a tough time with it.
Another quote from Mick Jagger that we can apply to our financial plans is this: lose your dreams and you might lose your mind.
Well, I like that one. You know, it's hard to plan for your retirement if you haven't taken any time to dream. We like to tell clients, just take out a piece of paper and just write. Say, if money didn't mean anything, if you had all the money in the world, what would you do with your time? What would your retirement look like? How much will you travel? Where would you live? What would an average day look like? When would you get up? What gym or country club would you belong to? Or do you not like country clubs? Would you just prefer spending time on your own? You've got to dream a little bit and just write a little bit. And if you're married, do it with your spouse. Sometimes you'll find out you've got two different dreams of retirement. But if you don't have a dream, you know, people tend to not live that long when they're just sitting in their chair and watching TV all day. Not that any of you are doing that, but it's important to have dreams. So that lose your dreams and you might lose your mind, quote by Mick Jagger, there's a lot of wisdom to that.
Absolutely. And then one more quote we'll take from Sir Mick here. It's all right letting yourself go as long as you can get yourself back. What the heck does that have to do with our financial plan?
It sounds like somebody's talking about my weight here, and I'm not. I refuse to let myself go like I did 20 years ago.
You still do those burpees every morning when you get up.
I do. Right? I do burpees. I was with a trainer 3 times this last week, and you know, I love doing that. But I know I shouldn't be left on my own because I never get as good of a workout as I do when I have somebody pushing me. So, but it's all right letting yourself go as long as you can get yourself back on track. Obviously, from a financial sense, you know, it's okay to lose money in the stock market as long as you have the time for those investments to rebound. So it's okay if your money goes down as long as you have time. Most of our clients in retirement do not want to take those losses because they do not want to have to wait, historically, sometimes 10, 12, 15 years for that market to come back. Most people want to protect their principal. And that's why, as conservative investment managers, we tend to protect the downside and the upside takes care of itself. And that has proven time and time again. If you don't have time on your side, there is no need to take these massive hits in the market, and especially today with the strategies that are out there that we're utilizing and other professionals are utilizing. There's no need to take the risk that some of you took in the past. You can get a very reasonable rate of return with, if not a guarantee of your principal, at least principal protection as far as the strategy that you're using.
It's pretty amazing when you look at from the year 2000 to 2010, the returns in the market, you know, what the market did over that decade. A lot of people call it the lost decade simply because if you look at where you started in 2000, you go through the dot-com crash for a couple of years of just going straight down, and then it rebounds and then crashes again in 08. I mean, it took every bit of 10 years to get back to where you were at the beginning of 2000. So that's fine if you're 35, right? You let yourself go, but you had time to get yourself back. But what if you were 56 in 2000 and 10 years later you're 66 and you're exactly where you started with your investments? The only difference is what you've put in to the accounts, but you don't actually have any growth. That's disastrous.
Well, not only that, but all of those statistics assume that people stay in their investments, and we know people don't. That big Dalbar study that I like to quote, I think the average investor stays in a equity mutual fund for what, 2 3/4 years, 3.5 years? So they usually ride it down and then they switch and they don't catch the upside. So, you know, it's all fine and dandy. You say, well, the market did X over this 10-year period of time. Most investors fare much worse than the market or the average of stock mutual funds. And that's why if you do not have a strategy in place ahead of time, your behavior will hurt you. We spend so much time helping people understand it's about protecting you from your emotions. It's about protecting you from doing the wrong thing at the wrong time because of how the markets are acting. The math is pretty simple when it comes to your retirement nest egg. You need to produce enough income to last through retirement, covering all your expenses, because that biweekly paycheck is a thing of the past. Going broke isn't an option. I mean, that's where a customized Money Map retirement plan from our team can help. If you're among the first 10 callers, we're going to offer you, in fact, we'll provide you with this no-obligation Money Map retirement review. Now, here's what it'll show. It'll show strategies designed to help maximize your Social Security income. It'll also show you ways to make sure that you'll never run out of money during retirement, and maybe, more importantly, how to make your nest egg as tax efficient as possible. The customized Money Map retirement review is available, again, to the first 10 callers. Call now, 1-800-705-1232. If you've saved at least $250,000 for retirement, call 1-800-705-1232. It really never hurts to get a second opinion on your retirement plan. So give us a buzz, set up a time to come on in and visit with us, 1-800-705-1232.
800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. You can call or you can text. If you text, just be sure to include your first and last name. 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. When you come in for your visit for your Money Map retirement review, you can pick out a copy of one of Joel's books to take with you. 800-705-1232 is the number to call. That's 800-705-1232. You're listening to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. Joel Johnson is a certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. It's time to open up the mailbag, Joel, and see what folks have on their minds for you this week. Let's start with Albert today. Albert says, should I start my Social Security at 62 to help pay off my house before I retire?
Well, that depends, but I can tell you it doesn't depend on much. First of all, you don't have to pay off your house before you retire. Albert, that's only a decision that you need to make if you really hate the idea of any debt at all. But chances are, if we really did a spreadsheet on you putting that money into your house to pay it off early based on the interest you're paying on your mortgage and said, well, what if you don't pay off the house and you take that money and you do something else with it, like leaving it in Social Security so the payment can grow by 7 or 8% a year, chances are on paper it's going to look better with you not paying off your house. The other thing is taking Social Security at age 62, I don't know if I like that idea. Depending on your longevity and the other money you have saved for retirement, you might want to wait a lot longer to take your Social Security. So this is a question. It's a little hard to answer, but you've really got two pieces of this question, Albert. One is, when should I take Social Security? And the other is, should I trigger it early to pay off a house? So whether you should pay off the house or not, that's one question. When you should take Social Security is a second question. This is really important that we sit down with you to give you the proper answer based on the rest of your financial picture, your goals, your dreams, whether you're married or not. A lot of different things factor into the answer to this question.
How does it work if he's still working, earning money, and he starts his Social Security at 62? Aren't there some kind of penalties or something like that that he'd incur by having Social Security while still working?
Well, there are. If you're still working and you get Social Security and you haven't reached your full retirement age, if you earn over $17,000 in that year, you're going to have to give back a chunk of your Social Security. So it doesn't make any sense. And it's about a third. So if I'm getting $20,000 a year in Social Security and I'm earning $20,000 a year at my job, I'm going to have to give back a third of the $20,000 I got from Social Security. It doesn't make any sense in that case. You know, the only reason I can think it made sense is if you were just dead broke and you absolutely needed that money.
So be sure you're getting good guidance on any decisions like that. Albert, or anybody who's looking at starting your Social Security, no matter what age you are, be sure that's the best decision for you. All right, how about a question from Victoria? Victoria says, my husband wants to leave a lot of money to the kids, but I've worked hard to be able to retire, and I don't want to scrimp and save for the rest of my life. What do you see as a reasonable amount to leave as a legacy?
Well, is your husband listening right now, Victoria? That's a really tough question to answer. It sounds like you've got more than you need. I'm just guessing that by the way you phrased this question. So if you have more than you need, then I think first and foremost, you ought to live the life that you want in retirement. Let's not impoverish ourselves so that our kids can get a start in life that maybe we didn't have, depending on obviously how old your kids are. I think it's reasonable to leave enough money to your kids to not spoil them, but to give them a little bit of a fresh start, maybe a little bit of a leg up, maybe pay for their children's education, your grandchildren's education. But this is a really tough question because this almost goes to someone's values. And I don't want to implant values into you, Victoria. I think this is a tough conversation. Maybe you want somebody to mediate that conversation. But I would not say, well, you're going to force yourself to live on $2,000 a month so you can leave each of your kids $1 million. I don't think that makes any sense whatsoever. And also, there are ways. We were just talking about life insurance a moment ago. You can actually buy an insurance policy that takes care of the legacy, leave a legacy to your kids on a tax-free basis, and then spend everything you have left. I remember years ago, I was working with the owner of an oil company that does oil deliveries all over New England here. And he said, I want to just leave each of my kids $250,000 and I want to spend the rest. And he bought a life insurance policy to do that. We helped him get a great deal on a life insurance policy. And it guaranteed each of the kids would be left $250,000. And then he didn't have to worry about leaving them anything behind. He could spend every nickel if he chose to that he had saved for retirement.
You're listening to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. Joel is a certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti. Joel, let's talk about some ways that you can uncover red flags in your own financial planning situation. I'm going to give you some questions, and I'm not posing them to you, Joel, but to you as the listener. If someone were to ask you this question, what would your answer be? And depending on your answer or lack of an answer to some of these questions, that could reveal some issues in your financial plan. Joel, you can explain to us why. So if somebody said, can you name all the investments in your portfolio? Well, what might be an answer that's a red flag to that?
Well, if I was to ask that to somebody that was coming in and visiting with us for that second opinion, can you name all the investments in your portfolio, and they could not, I would suggest that that's a problem. You may either not be well diversified enough, or you might own a bunch of products in there that somebody sold earning a commission, and they may or may not be in your best interest. Now, it's okay if you own a mutual fund and you don't know every single holding in it. You know, if you own the Fidelity Contra Fund and you don't know exactly what the manager of that fund owns today, then that's okay. But do you understand the different mutual funds? If you have 5, 6, 10, 30 different mutual funds like some of these investment models do, do you really understand what's in those portfolios and what's in those funds? And more importantly, are there contradictions? Do the funds fight each other, or are they so concentrated in one style of investing that you're taking much more risk than you realize? So if you don't understand any of the investments in your portfolio, that's a problem. If you understand every investment in your portfolio, you may not be diversified enough. So this is a real tough one. You've got to make sure you understand enough about what you own, but you're not so concentrated that you're taking too much risk.
Yeah, because what if we ask somebody, what do you have in your portfolio? And they think they're in good shape because they can name everything. They say, oh, well, in my 401k, I'm invested in the target date, the 2025 target date fund, and then I have some AT&T stock in another account that my dad gave me. Well, they can name everything in their portfolio. That doesn't mean it's a good one.
Well, just recently, in our Newton office, somebody came in, and I was debriefing with David after the meeting, because we do everything as a team. And David, my partner, was telling me that the gentleman had basically two holdings. He had what was in his 401k from his previous employer. I believe that was a Fidelity 401k. And that was a small part of his money. And then he had all of his other holdings in one stock, in one tech stock. And let's just say that stock was Microsoft, for example. You know, Microsoft might be a great company. They might be paying a dividend. They might be on every single computer that's not an Apple computer, a Microsoft computer, a desktop computer, a PC. That software might be in every single PC out there. But what if something happens with that company and it drops 50%? And people go, well, it's Microsoft. It can't drop 50%. Oh, yes, it can. Any stock can drop 50%. Some stocks go to zero. Some companies that were in the S&P 500 20 years ago aren't even around anymore. And this gentleman had, I think it was 70 or 80% of his money in one stock. That's a problem. So he can name exactly what he owned, but the amount of risk he was taking was just absolutely huge. And my guess would be his spouse doesn't know how much risk he's really taking. In fact, I don't believe he knows how much risk he's really taking. Intelligent person, but because he's done so well, that performance blinds us. So again, getting back to the question, can you name all of the investments in your portfolio? You should understand what you own, but if you're too concentrated, you might be taking a massive amount of risk and not be diversified at all.
Joel, if you ask somebody, how often do you meet with your financial advisor? What might be some red flag answers to that question?
Well, every week or every month would be a red flag, because I would suggest the financial advisor probably doesn't have enough clients and might not be a very substantial financial advisor. So on one side, if it's way too often, I quite frankly think that's a little bit of a problem. I mean, I don't want a doctor that I can call today and he says to me, you know, if I call my doctor, let's say I've got a knee problem. So I call the knee guy. And the knee guy says, oh, yeah, sure, come on in tomorrow anytime. I've got openings the next day. You know, you want to come in next Tuesday? My calendar's totally clear next Tuesday. And I see every one of my patients every month. I mean, really? You don't want a doctor like that. That would raise a red flag to me that he's not busy enough. So now, on the other hand, if my doctor can never see me, or if every time I call he's on the golf course, that's a problem too. So it's a good question. How often do you meet with your financial advisor? We ask questions like that. And, you know, most people say, well, every year or two we go over the financial plan. The key there is they have a financial plan. And the second is that you're monitoring it as things go on. And a good financial advisor will do that.
It seems though there are people who have somebody that they consider their financial advisor, but they haven't talked to them in 4 or 5 years.
Right. And that's not a financial advisor. That's somebody that either just sold you some product that Lord knows if it's good for you or not, or they're just not paying attention. Maybe your account is too small for that particular firm, and you want to find somebody that specializes in people just like you. So, you know, these are the reasons why we suggest you get this money map that we draw up for you. Not every client is right for us. Not every person that comes into our office is right for us. But at least you'll have a picture of what kind of an advisor you should look for if there's not a good fit with our firm.
And we'll talk more about the money map in just a moment. We're talking about some questions that, if they were posed to you, what might be some answers that would make you say, you know what, we probably need to reevaluate our financial plan here. Joel, if you ask somebody, are your account balances constantly moving up and down? What might be an answer to that question where you say, okay, well, we probably need to rethink this a little bit?
Well, I think if somebody needs to watch their portfolio all the time and they're obsessed with the up and down movements of the day, I think that's a problem. I think we need to have a conversation with that person. If you aren't paying any attention to your accounts, that's a problem too. But for the person out there that is checking every day or that it's bothering them, for instance, let's say you open your statement or you go online at the end of this month and you made money and you feel great. And then at the end of next month, you go online and look at your account and you lost money and you feel bad. That's a problem. Your emotions should not be going up and down with the value of your portfolio. Something is wrong there. Either your relationship to money needs to be rethought, and a good financial professional can help you rethink that. It's almost like a money coach or a money counselor. Or you're taking too much risk and you're not comfortable, and whoever set up that portfolio for you was not listening to you and what you're really trying to accomplish in your retirement.
All right, suppose you ask somebody to describe their retirement plan to you. I would imagine you get a lot of blank stares if you ask a question like that.
Yeah, here's what usually happens. We say, can you tell us about your financial plan? Can you tell us about your retirement plan? And they will pull out their statements and show us their statements. If that's you, if I asked you right now, what's your financial plan? What's your retirement plan? And you pull out a bunch of statements, or you go online and you look at your accounts and you say, well, here's my retirement plan. That is not a retirement plan. That's like me asking you, you're building a house. That's like me asking you, well, show me the plans for the house, and you pull out a hammer and a saw and a nail gun. That is not the plans for the house. The 2x4s and sheetrock, those are tools to build a house. Those are, I should say, ingredients to build a house. The tools are the tools to put the sheetrock and the 2x4s together. That is not the house. That is not the plans for the house. And the financial plan that you should have is not just a pile of investment statements or access to an online account that shows you what you hold at the current time. So you should be able to describe your retirement plan. Your financial advisor should be able to describe your retirement plan. If you are not sure you have a retirement plan, you need one. There's no reason why, no matter how much or how little money you have right now, there's no reason you should not have a good financial plan, a good retirement plan that gives you confidence in your financial future. Now, you may already have a financial professional that you've worked with for a while, and you may even like the person, but do you really know how they're getting paid? Are you sure that they're acting in your best interest? Are they fiduciaries? Unfortunately, not all financial professionals are fiduciaries. So if you call right now, 1-800-705-1232, we're going to offer you an opportunity to come in, go through our Money Map retirement process. It's a Money Map retirement plan that you get, and we'll go through the amount of fees that you're paying, the amount of risk that you're taking. I mean, during the analysis that we do for you, you'll also get Social Security maximizing strategies, tax reduction strategies. But again, it's the fees. Are you working with the right person? Are you working with a fiduciary? There's no obligation. Give us a buzz now. You'll leave our office with a Money Map plan for your future. Call 1-800-705-1232. Once again, 1-800-705-1232. Come on in, visit with us. You'll be glad you did.
800-705-1232 is the number to call. That's 800-705-1232. No cost, no obligation to come in for your Money Map retirement review. Call or text, whichever's easiest for you. Just be sure to include your first and last name if you do text. 800-705-1232. That's all we have time for this week on Money Wisdom. On behalf of Joel Johnson and everybody at Johnson Brunetti, we hope you have a great week. Talk to you soon.
Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital, LLC, a registered investment advisor.